Oh, hello, we're on this Thursday morning. Have you got a coach yet?
Not yet.
How many times are you hearing that throughout the day, Ruud?
Yeah, I've already got some advice downstairs this morning.
Oh, have you? At 4 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, exactly what I felt like too, I'll tell you.
Hey, now, later on this morning you'll be busy because you've got Ruba. You're going to try and give away $5,000.
I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to give away cash, especially if it's Triple M's. $5,000 up for grabs at the top of 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock as well.
Now, Ruud, I'm very, very excited. Now, growing up, I was the number one Skyhooks fan in Australia.
Yes.
I was a lunatic. I love them. Today, Bob Starkey, guitarist, is coming in because Skyhooks, without Shirley Strawn, obviously, are on their way to Adelaide. So I'm very, very excited about this.
Skyhooks, look forward to that one. Dusty Martin's left his car at the MCG and gone to Vegas. He doesn't care. He's making that much money and having so much fun. Someone else will pick it up and go and put it in his garage. We'll talk about where you left your car as well.
Ruined Hits here on Triple M.
Ruined Dits. Top three things you need to know.
What's making news, Ruud?
Well, I just had a look at a map of Australia, Dits, and then started putting the times, of each state in daylight saving.
So the time zones.
The time zones, right. Western Australia, just pick 6 p.m. to start with them.
Righto.
Northern Territory, 7:30.
Right.
Adelaide, or South Australia, 8:30. Queensland. 8 o'clock, go backwards a bit. Fast forward a little bit down to New South Wales and Victoria and Tassie, 9 p.m. So we got 6 p.m., 7:30, 8:30, 8 and 9.
How many time zones is that?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In our little kind of country.
Oh, we're well organised, aren't we?
Bloody hell. How do the cows keep track of that if they go for a walk?
Bloody hell, eh? God.
Hey, cow, turn your clock back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be hard work.
If a cow was straddling the border, how confusing would that be for it?
How do the curtains put up with that sort of carry-on?
They fade. Yeah. Alice has just handed me a letter to the editor. This is from John, who wrote to the paper over the weekend. And he's saying, basically, there's been a bit of talk about drought lately. Has anyone stopped to think the impact of daylight saving?
Don't talk like a country person.
Sorry. that was my Wakery accent. The extra hour of sunlight causes more evaporation and therefore drought. The two states that don't have daylight saving, Queensland and WA, they're not in drought, Roo.
Oh,
so
shit.
What happens is, I've worked this out, apparently you can ring someone. You can ring from a different state and say, You ring the sun and say,
Sunny.
We want one less hour here, please, of sunlight. And then it fixes everything.
It gets rid of the drought.
Oh, obviously it does.
Just so the farmers wouldn't like daylight saving then, would they?
No.
At all?
No, not at all.
Gee whiz.
It's very. You've confused me further this morning, Roo.
Yeah.
Hey, Roo, here's an important story that's coming out. You know Johnson & Johnson. We all grew up, we've had this patted on our bum as babies, haven't we? Johnson & Johnson baby powder. Every kid in the world probably had this.
Massive company.
They make all sorts of drugs and pharmaceuticals and everything.
Mm-hmm.
A fella in the US has sued them. They've been forced to pay $11.8 billion because this bloke grew breasts after he took a psychiatric drug for a while, Risperdal, and he's ended up with breasts. So I'm just wondering, who do I sue for my breasts? Who's at fault? Who's at fault? Who can I get onto?
How can anyone afford to pay $11.8 billion? That's a very big check, isn't it?
It's a big fine.
Very big fine.
Yeah.
Huge. God, that is no good.
What else is making news?
Bushfires, Dits, are in the news. We've got a heap of them already burning around Australia. But the thing that does my head in, they're deliberately lit. And we've lost how many houses? 30 houses.
30 houses wiped out totally. I mean, the devastation, how would you feel? You've come home and obviously you've heard, there's a bushfire raging, you get back and there's nothing you can do. You're helpless and you watch it and you lose
Even
everything.
Even if you got your family out.
Yep, you lose everything you've ever owned. The devastation.
Well, it wasn't long ago here, was it? We had some tragic ones.
Of course, there have been lives lost in some of these bushfires as well. It's not just your property, but lives have been lost. So what needs to happen to these people? Because they're talking at the moment, in New South Wales, police are searching for an individual. They're saying they're onto someone. It's been deliberately lit. What should happen to this person? Surely it's a 30-year jail term. It's a throwaway the key job, isn't it? If so many people lose their houses and everything they own.
I reckon it's just about a mandatory sentence, isn't it, to get in there? You know, for, I don't know how long it is. Is it a year? Is it depending on how bad it is?
It's got to be a long time.
Yeah, I mean, if you're causing death, you're in for a long time, surely. You know, It's a tough one. We've had Port Lincoln fires. Yeah. It wasn't long ago we lost nine people lives over there. Yeah. You know, north of Adelaide. That was shocking. We spoke to a mate of mine who lost his house. It must just be tragic. So we are heading in to our worst summer for a very, very long time in Australia.
Yeah.
And, like, it's October now. We've had one hot day. And we've had fires burning everywhere at the moment.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long, hot summer. Yeah, it's a risky one, Dits, that's for sure.
Yep, that's what's in the news today. In a moment, we're going to get to Statman. Someone could win a Google Home Mini. Ruin Dits on Triple M. Ruin Dits on Triple M, Matchbox 20, Rob Thomas, the lead singer, is on his way to Adelaide. He's coming to do one of those days on the green soon.
Yep, love him. Very good. Hey, timing's not great for Racing Victoria coming up to their prime time, Spring Carnival on the way, and one of the, well, the former leading trainer in Melbourne, Darren Weir, we know he's been in trouble for all sorts of things in terms of setting up horses and the way he's been treating them and betting and all sorts of stuff. Well, police have actually charged him yesterday, Dits, with cruelty to animals, 33 charges against him and three other men. So he'll be going to court on October 23, so right in the heart of Caulfield Cups.
Yeah. Gee, the headlines, plate. It'll take it away from it, won't it?
Yep, and maybe that's exactly what they want, just to send a message in prime time that if you go, you know, jigging with electricity into horses and big name horses, Melbourne Cup horses, then we are going to embarrass you on the national stage. So big news coming out of Melbourne.
All right, more coming up in sport. All the footy news in just a moment. Ruin Dits here on Triple M.
What a goal!
Ruin Dits overnight sports.
Now, Roo, all of the trade talk continues. I need you to be honest with me here because you're talking to all of the managers and all the people around the AFL. Port Adelaide, yesterday it was announced in trade talks that Dougal Howard has nominated St Kilda as his preferred club for next year.
That's true.
Now, I've been saying to you for weeks now, this is a player that Port Adelaide cannot let go.
Well,
so I rang people at the club yesterday. I made some calls, people that I know, and they're saying he is unlikely to leave Port Adelaide. So there's confusion now because on one hand, there are a lot of stories in the Melbourne press saying Dougal Howard's nominated St Kilda. He's been told to look around. I've rung someone, a prominent person at Port Adelaide, who's told me very unlikely to leave the club.
Well, he's been told to look around. I can tell you that right now.
Really?
You don't get told to go and look around unless your club, if your club 100% wants you to stay.
Well, I can't work this out.
I can work it out.
Don't understand.
I can work it out. They're happy for him to go if they get what they want back in. If they don't get what they want back in,
well,
they're not letting him go.
What's coming in that's better than Dougal Howe? This is my point. This is your
This is your centre half back
for the next 10 years.
Well, obviously not. He wasn't even in the side the last few weeks, so there must be a blue happening down there. Well, I like him. Don't get me wrong.
Now that you raise that, he was, if you remember, he was dropped, what, twice during the year? In fact, started the year in the reserves.
He was captain. He got dropped in pre-season for some sort of attitude.
Yeah, so maybe. I've said to you a couple of times, there's something we don't know about this story.
Yep. I can tell you, if they get who they want, he'll be out. If they don't get who they want, he'll be
so
in.
So is there a query with his, you know, work ethic or
what's in
training,
the leadership group for then?
Well, I don't know, but he was dropped, wasn't he?
Yep. So at the start and the end.
All right. Eddie Betts, we've been hearing about this for weeks now, but likely to be announced today that he's on his way to Carlton.
Yeah, it should be soonish, that's for sure.
All right. Former Port Adelaide Premiership player Josh Carr is on his way to Fremantle, so obviously coaching North Adelaide, or has been.
That time you got out of the state, you little rat. He's a good fella. I'm mates with him. He's all right. He's a good fella. And that's a good get for Justin Longmuir. So well done to Carrie.
Yep.
And now North Adelaide need to find a coach, Dits.
Yep, they do.
That's good. They played together, didn't they?
Who?
Did Carr and Longmuir?
They would have at Fremantle, yeah. Yep, so they'd be mates.
Yep.
Big weekend of cricket coming up. 13 of our 17-man Ashes squad are going to be in action this weekend. So big, big weekend of cricket right around the country. And would you believe the Rugby World Cup's under threat? There's a typhoon on the way in Japan. So some of the games over there might be postponed because of a typhoon. If you win the toss, kick with the wind.
Kick with
the
typhoon.
When there's a typhoon, I'd be going that way. And the supercars hit Mount Panorama today for the first practice session ahead of Bathurst 1000.
Look out.
It's the biggest race of the year. Craig Lowndes who won it for a seventh time last year, is teaming up with Jamie Wincup. So
good,
they'll
combo,
be a formidable combo, won't they?
Sure will.
That's our look at sport. Ruin Ditsy. I'm very excited, Ru, in a moment. This isn't far away.
Who's this?
Skyhawks guitarist Bob Bongo
I'll
Starkey.
I'll let you just dominate that.
Yeah, well, I actually caught up with him yesterday because I know I'm such a tragic. You couldn't be here, so I said I'll come in. Because if Skyhawks are in town, I need to talk to them. So they're coming here for a tour. When I say they, you know that Shirley Strawn tragically died years ago. But Bob Starkey's found a singer that can sing like Shirley Strawn. So they're on their way to Adelaide.
Wow.
We'll find out more in just a moment. Ruined, it's on Triple M. Ruined, it's here on Triple M.
We have a lot of tradies listen to our show, Dits, especially between 6 and 7 in the morning. They're up and about, driving to work or out
working. Hard workers, yep.
Might be a bit hard with daylight saving and being a bit darker in the mornings. But good news for young tradies out there. Scott Morrison, our Prime Minister, has declared that he wants more Australians on the tools instead of going to uni and going into, you know, turning into lawyers and consultants and, you know, sort of white-collar jobs like that. And so much so, they've actually given an ambassador role to Scotty Cam, who, you know, stars on The Block.
And my brother.
Your brother, your lookalike. And he's been one of the most successful tradies in Australia, I guess, over the last 20 or 30 years in terms of profile and living proof that you can do pretty well out of being a tradie at the moment. And the government have just actually announced a $100 billion infrastructure investment fund that they're going to need a lot of tradies to fill up these jobs over the next decade or so. And we know that there is too many people going to uni and not enough jobs out there at the moment in some professions, isn't there, Ditsa? Certainly,
well,
in South Australia.
You mentioned legal. Seriously, at the moment, if you leave any of the universities here with a law degree, there are no jobs. It's very, very hard to get a job. And you've done all that study and worked hard, and there's nothing there at the end of it.
So we've been through an era where parents have worked like dogs, you know, physical jobs, and they tell the kids, go to uni, get a good education, get a good career. You don't want to do what I've done and work until you're 70 and, you know, just struggle to pay your house off.
Yeah,
and you live
breaking work.
That's right. And people have listened to that and done all that, and now it's gone too far. And we actually need more people to get out there and get apprenticeships and trades and things like that. So it's good news for the young lads out there who like getting their hands dirty and like building and doing those trades. So, there's going to be more money around, and Scotty Cam's going to be enticing you to get involved in it. So I like the sound of this.
I'm envious of tradies. You know, when you go into a pub at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and they've all just knocked off and you see them, you can tell they've worked hard and worked up a sweat. Because I just wish, and they're doing it now in schools, but I wish when I was at school that I learnt more of those types of skills. I really do. And schools have changed a lot now. You can do a lot more. You can learn manual things, can't you, as well as
absolutely.
Just read, you know, arithmetic and, you know, English. You can actually learn to, you know, be a bit of a tradie.
Yep, absolutely.
And then you think, yep, this is for me. So when you leave school, you go straight into it and carry on.
Pushing a pen's not for everyone, did
not
sometimes.
For everybody.
Yep. Building is the way to go. So good news there for young tradies.
Yeah. All right. In a moment, we're going to meet Skyhooks right here on Triple M. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Ruined, it's for breakfast, Roo. I am that excited. I am pumped. It's like I've died and gone to heaven. When I was a kid, was I, and in fact still am, an enormous Skyhooks fan. And the guitarist, the lead guitarist, Bob Bongo Starkey, is here in the studio. Bob, welcome.
Thank you very much.
What do
much.
I say, Bongo? What do you answer to
Bongo.
These?
You can do Bongo these days.
Yeah, we're talking to you because you're on your way to Adelaide. We'll get to that in just a moment. Are you tight, all of you? We unfortunately lost Shirl. I mean, you know, terrible, tragic accident. Are you all absolute best mates out of this whole experience?
No, and we never really were. As we came together, it was more like, you know, just joining the band, and we came from separate parts of town and different ways of life or whatever.
Look, as a kid, I was obsessed. I've got to tell you, I've seen Skyhooks so many times. I just love the band. I love the songs. And it was because the music was different. When it came out in the 70s, that album, Living in the 70s, was just different. You wore makeup. You did things. You wore outrageous costumes. You were more than just a music band, and probably like what Split Enz did in a little bit of a way as well. So who decided that you should go into all of this sort of showbiz stuff as well?
Well, it was Greg McCunch. You know, from the very first day I joined the band, I was like 21. And in the really early days, he said, you've got to divorce yourself from the street. Basically, you've got to frock up. And he'd been to see Gary Glitter.
Right.
But and so he was sort of probably thinking down those lines, but he got more than he bargained for, really, didn't he?
He sure did, yeah. So the songs, Horror Movie, Living in the 70s, which is just an unbelievable album in itself, and there are songs on there like Smut and Two-Rat Cowboy, but Go to Ego is not a dirty word. Is he one of the great songwriters, in your opinion?
Oh, totally. He's got the most amazing brain, you know, the way he sort of, he has this really cynical sort of eye that casts, you know, over the social landscape.
Yeah.
You know. But no two songs the same.
Yeah.
And as time went on, that sort of became a problem because he was just going off into places unknown.
Mm.
He was just an amazing songwriter. He still blows my mind to this day, you know. And now that I'm doing a show with all Skyhooks tunes, it's like, well, which ones do you play?
Yeah.
You know,
so. Now, I, for one, will be there because I am a tragic, there's no doubt. But I want to ask you about the singer because how do you replace Shirley Strawn, who we tragically lost, as we've talked about, in a helicopter accident? But you've actually come across a female that's doing the singing for you.
Yeah, well, it's way back when we sort of broke up. I can remember us doing this gig with Susie DiMarchi.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what? She would be fantastic. But in actual fact, she wouldn't have because she couldn't sing that high.
Mm.
Even girls find it hard to sing as high as Shirley. Now, I've come across this girl. Her name's Laura Davidson. And I saw her singing in a band called AC/DC, right? And she was just absolutely brilliant in that. Anyhow, she agreed to come on board. And I got to tell you, she's amazing because sometimes you shut your eyes.
Yep.
You swear it was Shirley.
Yeah,
there's certain songs, you know. And also she's got that same sort of larrikin thing that Shirl had, you know. You never knew what was going to come out of his mouth.
So it makes a real
mouth.
Stage show as well.
Yeah. So it's a real fun band, and that's basically why I'm doing it.
Bob, I can't wait to see this. We're talking January 18 at the Gov. It'll come around pretty quick, and tickets will sell fast as well. And just when you did your reunion tour at the end of Skyhooks, you came back. It was phenomenal. That sold out within minutes, didn't it? And I remember going to see you at Thebe Theatre with the reunion tour that was so popular Australia-wide, which tells you that, mate, everyone remembers, and everyone just remembers the great music of Skyhooks. So we look forward to this in January.
Good on you, mate.
Good on you. Thanks for coming in. Bob Bongo Starkey, it's the Skyhook Show. It's at the Gov, the iconic Gov, January 18. Ruined, it's on Triple M on this Thursday morning. Another chapter from the files of the world has gone absolutely mad, Roo.
Right.
Now, tell me this. Obviously, you're involved at an AFL club of looking at potential young players moving forward, who you might recruit, who you want to pick up.
Yep.
What are the key attributes? What are you looking for?
What am I or what are recruiters looking
for? In general.
For?
Yeah, what's important to you?
For me personally, that I have no influence in this, by the way, of picking up the younger players, just to make that crystal clear. But if it was me, I'd be looking for character as number one.
Number one?
Yep. I'd rather.
What about, can they get the footy? Kick Mark Hamill? Can they kick a goal?
I've got a no dickhead policy in my recruiting, Dits. I don't like bad people. Yeah, so I'd go for character first.
Geez, you recruited a few. Anyway, move on.
Yeah. I haven't recruited
any.
Well,
your club has.
No. And then obviously skills and family background, all that sort of stuff.
All that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Yeah. All right. So
good people.
Good people.
Yep.
So even if you're an absolute gun footballer, that's way down the list.
No, I'd be prepared to have a look at it, see if they could change.
I'll tell you where I'm going with this. Young player.
I'm all up for Marlon Pickett in the grand final getting the game. I'm all up for that. I'm up for taking a chance if he shows to me and looks me in the eye and says, I can turn myself around.
Well, that's interesting, all right, because he's done jail time.
Yep.
And I know young people can make mistakes, but going on what you said about character and family background, he's probably failed a couple of those tests.
Yep.
So you would have thought, don't know about this lad.
18 clubs didn't pick him up in the draft last year.
All right. No, that's an interesting point. And as I said, I'm not making light of that. But I want to run you through this. He's a young lad who they're saying potentially could be a top two pick in the AFL. His name's Noah Anderson. And he's revealed. So more than 50 philosophers, psychologists and uni professors have put together a famous test known as the trolley problem test. Right. What that means, I don't know.
No, tell us what it is.
For people out there listening, if you've got young kids that you want to grow up to be an AFL footballer one day, this is the garbage they're subjected to. So my first question at a combine would be, well, what's his endurance like? What's the sprinting like?
I'm sure they've done all this by this point.
Kick, mark and handball?
I'm sure they've done all that.
Well, I don't know. So this 18-year-old lad was given a test here. You're standing at a train station and there are five people on the train tracks, and there's a train coming, but next to you is a lever. And if you pull the lever, the train diverts and goes down another track, but it runs over one person. Would you pull the lever?
So the decision they want
do
the
I
kid
kill
to
one
make,
or do I kill five?
Do I pull the lever to save four lives?
Mm.
Yep. You know what I'd be doing?
What?
Pulling the lever to save.
I'd be walking out of the test. I'd be saying, "What the
no,
hell?
You
got to
make a decision. It's on the spot. You're in the middle of the MCG on grand final day. You're trying to make a decision on the spur of the moment.
Do I get the footy and kick a goal, or don't I?
Or do I panic and not know to kick it or handball?
There is no relation between the two. None. Now, here's the next bit. Here's the next question. Right. If there's an overweight person standing next to the tracks, and you could save the lives of five people by pushing the man in front of the train, would you do it?
Push him.
Oh, well, I'll pick you up then. Yeah, you're an obvious footballer.
Yeah. Here's good decision maker. Under pressure, do I kill someone to save people's lives?
I'll give you one more. There are five toys in front of you. There's a fake spider, a big blue ball where you squeeze it. There's jelly. There's a puzzle. And there's a slap bracelet, which I don't know what that is.
When you go like that and it bends around their arm when you smack it down.
Pick one of the toys.
I'm not into toys too much. Right. Yeah. I'm probably telling them.
Well, anyway, he picked the big fluffy ball because it looked appealing. I just want to ask anyone listening out there, what the hell has this got to do with whether a young kid is going to be a great footballer for Port Adelaide or Adelaide or whichever club you choose? Or they
I can
you
see
up.
The decision-making one coming into play. I'm not sure about the fluffy spider thing.
The decision-making. Yep. What? A train is coming down the track. Do I kill one person or kill five? What? Honestly. What does that do for a future footballer? Serious, I'm being really serious.
If he's good at making decisions, if he shows, you know, that how he thinks about it, absolutely. There'd be some people that just can't make a decision. They'd panic and do nothing, and that person wouldn't be able to handle being in the centre square on the MCG.
But quite seriously, the answer to that question, what about the toy one? That tells me nothing about that kid.
Yeah, and the answer might be the fact, just the way they can. Way they think
so
about
it. So what if
it.
I show, and I'm being...
Hang on, you're asking a question, a question.
Sorry.
It might be, might be no wrong or right answer, Dits. It might just be you get a feeling on what they're like. Like if they go, oh, shit, I don't really want to have to kill someone here. Or someone just goes, no, I don't give a shit. I'll kill him.
Mm.
And they'll just work out stuff about the person. That's what I'm thinking. I'm not a psychologist or got no knowledge of it at all, but I presume they're just trying to get a better gauge on the individual and what he's like.
So have you spoken to anyone about these tests? Because I'm just wondering, what if I'm a stubborn person, which I am, and I just stand up and say, I'm not doing your test, this is ridiculous, and I walk out. Does that show strength, or does that show, he's insolent, or
I reckon they'd shy away from picking you up because you're not open-minded, not looking at, not willing to learn different ways, and you're too set in your ways.
Okay. All right.
And they might lose a superstar, a world champion, but that's the decision they got to make.
Yeah.
Because footy changes and the rules change and different situations are presented, but they could knock back a champion. That's the decision. That's why recruiting is very open and it's hard and there's a lot of guesswork, isn't there?
Yep.
That's why no one picked up Marlon Pickett last year. And now he's a star on the MCG on grand final day.
All right. I'll say it again. The world has gone mad. Righto. I've learnt something here. Ruined it's on Triple M. Ruined it's here on Triple M.
Oh, you talked before, Dits, about the world's gone mad about the questions they're asked at the draft combine. I think the world's gone a little bit mad with how many people eat Uber Eats, hasn't it?
Anyone in particular that you were pointing to here?
Oh, maybe an award-winning producer on our show.
Right.
Alice the Wag.
Right.
Good morning, Alice.
Oh, good morning.
And it's fair to say, we try to help Alice. We're only here to help because she says things like, at different times of the year, I've got to get my new dress for the McGarry medal, but I need to lose a couple of kilos. And so we try and help, don't we?
Yep, because we were former professional athletes who know how tough it is to lose weight and maintain weight and get the rig in shape. And now I've got pretty good at blowing it out as well.
So last week, Alice declared, I've got to have my body right for Queensland in summer. What are you doing? Is it a holiday or a wedding you're going to?
Romantic 10 days away with Joel,
right.
My boyfriend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I need to look after myself. I'm going on a health kick.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, great.
Yeah.
We're happy to help out.
Yeah, we'll support you.
Do you want us to be firm? Yes. Okay. But we can be firm.
Mm. And then you went rifling through her desk the other day.
Well, after what happened Thursday? What do we have? The Crows Best and Fairest. Yep. That's right.
That was a bad day.
Triple M had a table there, and that's great because they're sponsors. And gee, did they make the most of it? They were the loudest table at the Best and Fairest, and they had a big time. So much so they, you know, decided to go into town and celebrate Brad Crouch's win because they're all very close to Brad. Pig's bum. Anyway, they got home at, you know, around two-ish. Mm. And, yeah, she had to be up at 4:45. So, you know, you do the sums on that. That's not very much sleep.
We don't condone rifling through a workmate's desk, but we were doing it in support of Alison. What did you find in that desk?
Well, I went to go for to the toilet before and I caught her red-handed with her hand in a box of Pringles. For starters.
Yeah.
At 8 a.m.
It was like, you know, catching a rabbit in a trap. Busted. You know, she gets very bingy at this after a hangover.
And I think she washed those down with some marshmallows.
May have.
Yeah.
And at that point I said, right, enough's enough. So I went through her desk and her drawers. And my God, it was like
hidden everywhere,
a squirrel had gone to work with all these chestnuts or whatever they bloody eat, squirrels. And anyway, Vegemite, peanut butter, tuna, cereal, chocolate bars, more chocolate, marshmallows, other chips, stuff that we get from people coming in to give us gear to promote on Triple M. It took up
a packet of mixed lollies as
Mixed lollies. Yeah. There was a whole, and I'm not exaggerating here, we'll put the photo up on
already up on Triple M's Instagram.
It's on Triple M what page?
Triple M's Instagram.
Instagram. The whole desk was full of food.
Yep.
And we're laughing, dude. So I had to go dig deeper into drawers, into cupboards, everywhere. How much food did you have in there?
So much.
Right.
But the thing is, the reason that that food is in my desk is because I haven't eaten it.
Yes, but you will eat it if it's there.
What's it
doing
there,
You need to get rid of all that. It's like a gambling addict. When they're trying to give up the punt, they throw the form guide out. So it's just not in the way. So they don't even get tempted.
Yep.
You don't need tempting.
But then the real kicker with this story is we heard her ordering Uber Eats.
Because Saturday night, Joel won the Best and Fairest. And
so the order started with
you knew hot... Joel.
And yeah, you celebrated someone you knew. We start with hot chips with gravy.
This is the Uber Eats.
Yeah, and then knock that off, you know, wash that down with a family pizza, thanks. Now, Alice.
Justify your Uber Eats order.
Okay,
please,
well, it costs $5 every time you get an Uber Eats order delivered to your house. So I knew, you know when you're hungover and I knew I wanted hot chips and gravy, that's a given, but I also knew that I'd probably want pizza later and I also felt like some chocolate at some point. So instead of doing three separate orders, I found a restaurant that did all three. So I ordered from the same
and
restaurant.
And you actually looked at me then like you were really clever to find a restaurant that delivered chips and gravy and pizza and
by
chocolate.
By the way,
chocolate mousse.
You found this restaurant, I'd say, from past experience.
From my favourites tab.
Yeah. Yeah. Righto. So how's the Queensland body looking anyway? Because we're trying to help you.
It starts today.
Hang on. I was meant to start a week ago. What happened?
Well, it's a little blip in the system.
And she actually said to you and I the other day, she's going to fine herself $10 every time she breaks this little diet.
Yeah.
How many $10 fines have you had this week?
24 hours. I've had none.
Right.
Can I just remind the audience quickly of a scenario that played out about 6 months ago when Joel was away and you were home and a bit needy. And you ordered Uber Eats and you ordered once again, you must have been thinking about your money because you ordered a fair bit to save the delivery fee.
It was $80 worth.
$80 worth of food, you little pig. And then the Uber Eats person's locked up at the door. You've walked to the door feeling guilty as, and bloke stepped on the door and you have made out Joel's at home, your boyfriend, and he's in Melbourne. And you've gone, Joel, Uber Eats is here. Just because you were that guilty to the bloody Uber driver, worried about his thoughts that you had ordered $80 worth. You made out someone was in the house. This is how low you've got.
Well, it was a family pack for an Uber Eats. So I thought, he must be some sort of family here. Yeah.
Joel, Uber Eats is here.
Come to the door.
It would be funny if the Uber driver was a South Adelaide fan and said, I'd love to meet Joel.
Go and get him for me. Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm sorry, Mr. Uber driver. He's not here.
No, he's in the shower.
I'm just guilty as.
Yeah. Anyway, Ice, we'll keep an eye on you. We'll try and help.
At the start of this break, you said you're going to be nice to me.
Well,
that
was we
nice.
Are.
That was nice. I feel like I'm on the Biggest Loser.
Ruined. It's on Triple M with Alice the Wag, the Biggest Loser. Bruin Ditz here on Triple M.
Ditz, what would you do after you won a premiership and after you'd already won another premiership and you'd already won a Norm Smith medal and you won another Norm Smith medal? What would you go and do?
I'd party long and hard, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well,
Dusty, celebrate.
Dusty Martin has certainly done that. So September the 28th. On the MCG. He wreaks havoc again and gets another premiership and another Norm Smith medal, and he goes on a bit of a binge, a bit of a party, and so much so that he's gone to Vegas and left his car under the MCG from September the 28th. It's now October the 10th, Thursday, October the 10th. Just a bit busy. Just a bit busy being Dusty.
So he hasn't gone back to pick his car up?
No. he left it there. And probably the safest place for it, to be honest, because I think most days after you win a premiership, you're probably celebrating. Certainly in those first couple of weeks.
Yeah.
There's not too many roster days off in that calendar. In fact, there would be none, especially if you're Dusty. And so... No, it's still under the MCG, and they're looking after it for him. And in fact, they've said that's what you do. You do him a favour. He's a Norm Smith medalist, so that's what we'll do. We'll look after it.
So, is there a daily rate?
Well, I don't know about that. Actually, I don't know if it's a paid car park or not, or whether he gets a leave pass because he's Dusty or whatever.
I suppose as a player, you'd get a pass to go in and park, especially grand final day.
Yeah.
But that's for that day. I wonder subsequently though. I wonder if it's like $30 a day or something.
Yeah, so he's gone to Vegas now. I presume he's probably going to have, 2 weeks or a month at least over there to celebrate
a
great win.
I hope he remembers. You can come back and go, where did I park my car?
So it makes you look.
Have you left your car anywhere?
Oh, look, my car's had a lot of sleepovers at the Alma.
Yep.
But, I'm down there the next day or 2 days at most, I reckon it takes to go and pick it up.
Yeah. My sister has got a great story. God bless her. So years and years ago, she was a teenager, and Bojangles was the big joint in town. So it's the new market on the corner there, opposite the new road.
Bojangles?
It was, the Bojangles nightclub upstairs. So at one stage it was Teasers New Market.
God,
so Noel
had
Teasdale,
a history, that joint.
Yeah, it was Teasers New Market when I was a kid. Then it became Bojangles. So anyway, she's gone into town on this Saturday night to go out and parked her car. There was a petrol station next door. And there was and at night, petrol stations in those days were closed, you see. So you'd sneak in and park there. So she goes in. And unbeknownst to her, she hasn't put the handbrake on and it's out of gear. And it's just very, very slowly but surely rolled out of the petrol station and has lodged itself across West Terrace. Now, how many lanes in West Terrace? Four or five?
Oh, yeah, four or five.
Sitting out in the middle. Can you believe that?
Oh,
out in the middle.
Yeah.
Out in the middle. And she doesn't know this. She's inside having a wow of a time. Dancing away. And next minute, so midnight, my father, who's a bit angry, gets a phone call, woken up by the police because the rego is, that address. And my old man has to get out of bed in his pajamas, drive into town with spare keys.
God.
And go and park the car. I don't know where he parked it, but she's come out afterwards and somehow still managed to find her car. And I remember at the breakfast table the next morning, steaming.
Oh.
He said, "Did you find your car last night?" She went, "Yeah, no, it's trivial. Yeah, drove home." And he launched into this great spray about how he had to find it. Halfway across West Terrace.
Bloody hell. 133353, where have you left your car? Have you done a Dusty and just left it there for a couple of weeks or a month? Give us a call, 133353.
Now, we've all our cars have had a little sleepover from time to time.
Yep.
Where has your car been left? Where have you had a sleepover?
Yeah, after Dusty Martin left his at the MCG and he's buggered off to Vegas with Dane Swan, let's go to Kathmandu. G'day, Paul.
Yeah, Kays.
Where are you from?
Kathmandu.
Oh, Alice.
Yeah, come on.
Alice. Alice has got on the screen here. You're in Kathmandu.
Yeah, I know. They did that last time. That's pretty good. Hey, listen, back in the 70s, I was in the army.
Yep.
And I was supposed to go to Vietnam. I got called off. My mate ended up going to Malaya.
Yep.
So anyway, his mate lent me his car for the 2 weeks before I was ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at the Sydney. There's four of us. Went to Sydney to have a bit of a party because we're leaving. And the car broke down right in the middle of the King's Cross.
Oh, no.
How unfortunate.
I know. So anyway, I just left it there.
You just left it there?
I left it in the middle of the street
and
took off. And we ended up getting a bus home back to Inglewood. And then 2 weeks later, we're doing grenade training out at... out the back of the Inglewood there, and there's this great big black Dodge. I left it in the middle of Sydney, and here we are shooting at it with grenades.
No.
What?
The council obviously picked it up and brought it out to the rifle range.
Oh, good on you, Paul. Good story.
That's called recycling.
Yeah. 1-3-3-5-3. Give us a buzz wherever you left your car.
And we've got a double to go and see Kiss on their world tour. Give us a ring. 1-3-3-5-3. Drew and Ditts on Triple M. Where have you left or abandoned your car?
Let's go to Flinders Park. G'day, Chris.
Morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Good, thanks, mate. Tell us your story.
Well, it wasn't myself. It was one of my dad's mates back in the day. He always did some pretty silly things.
Right.
Where I come from is a pretty remote island off the coast of Tassie and pretty small community, so you leave your keys in the car. People still do. He went away to the mainland, as we call it, Tassie, and come back a couple of weeks later, walked around the car park, couldn't find his car. Now, it's a small community, so the car park at the airport's only probably 50 cars deep. So he goes into the local cop shop, reports it's stolen. Copper said, no worries, I'll look into it. So somebody goes to the pub because he has nothing else to do. A couple of hours later, the cop come back. We found your car, Soldy. He said, who had it? Who stole it? It's at the airport.
What?
He couldn't find it. We're talking a small community, 50 cars deep, and he couldn't find it.
Oh, right.
So he looked pretty hard.
Might have spent too much time in the pub.
What's the island called?
Flinders Island.
Flinders Island.
Great.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, all right. Very beautiful place.
Good on you, Chris. Thanks for that.
Yeah, let's go to Manopara. G'day, Darren.
How you going, mate? How are you?
Good, Darren.
Mine was when I was first got my P's. Mate. That was many years ago now. My mum had a pride and joy of a Mini.
More beautiful.
Yeah, a little 850 thing. And she had a fluffy carpet in the back, whatever, all that sort of thing, the pasture shelf. And she goes, here, take that, because I was going to the drive-in. And parked on top of a hill. I went into the shop and the thing rolled down and hit between a stable pole and a fence, you know, on Lower Northeast Road.
Oh, no.
So I didn't know what to do, so I basically cracked myself and left it there and went out for about 4, 5, maybe 6, 7 hours and then come back and eventually got the car out of the stable pole and the fence and I took it back to my house and hid it in the shed for a day and a half and she didn't even know any different. And she came out and the whole front end was totaled.
Oh, no. No, Darren. You wouldn't have been in a good spot there, mate. Let's go to Salisbury. G'day, Billy.
G'day, boys. How we going?
Good, Billy.
I went to casino one Friday night. I had about $400 or $500 on me. So I went to the casino, had a really good win, kept going until Sunday morning, walked out with $23 in my pocket, and it was a fair old effort. Went underneath where I parked my car. I had an old XA four-door Falcon. So I had it parked underneath the casino where really you're not supposed to park it, but I did anyway. Went and looked there, couldn't find it. It was missing. Anyway, I went to the police station that's near the casino there underneath. I said, look, someone stole my car. They said, what's the car? And I told him what it was and everything. And he come back and he goes, oh, no, that got towed away because it was parked under there and we thought it might have been stolen or, you know, illegally parked.
Right.
I said, well, where's it been towed to? They said, oh, Richmond Towing. So I go to Richmond Towing to pick my car up. It said, oh, it's $60 to get your car back. I only had $23 on me.
Whoa, there you go.
That's a bad result all round.
Bad result all round. Yeah, no good at all.
All right, you want to send someone off to see Kiss route?
Yeah, I think Paul left his car in King's Cross can have the Kiss double.
All right,
there.
It's the Farewell Kiss Tour, the End of the Road World Tour, Adelaide Cooper Stadium, November 19. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketek, proudly presented by Triple M.
$5,000 up for our Ruba contest coming up shortly.
Ladies, ruined dits for breakfast on Triple M.
We thought you girls were sugar and spice and all things nice.
Ruined dits, angels.
Get ready for summer with the hottest deals on home cooling from Mannix Air Conditioning.
Good morning, angels.
Good morning, ruined dits.
Mel the button pusher, who's in a brutal mood this morning.
So sassy.
Alice the wag and Emma G coming in after 9 o'clock with, is it the theme train today?
No, not today. Not for Oztober. We're having a little bit of a break.
Should do my
How is Oztober going?
It's fantastic. It is, isn't it? Music. Yeah, it's awesome.
Okay. Hey, first topic. Now, I've noticed a trend here, Roo, that when Batchy's on.
I've noticed a trend with you talking about bloody bikinis.
No, we'll get to that in just a moment. When Batchy's on, of course, every female in Australia's just glued to the TV and you can't get anything. It can't make sense.
There's only one bloke on the show, isn't there?
But then when it's Bachelorette, which has started now, not interested, don't care.
I would have thought that's when they're having a look at all the blokes.
I know, but apparently Well, we'll find out why. Mel the button pusher, what's your theory of this?
I don't watch either of them. I'm not much help to you.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry.
Thanks for that. Told you she's a brute.
Great input, Mel.
Thanks. That was like a half volley. I just got hit to the boundary there. Whack. Just whack. Righto. Alice the Wag.
I think the main reason is watching all these girls bitch about each other.
Yep.
That's what's fun.
Oh, you girls don't do that, do you?
No, the girls on the show do.
Right.
Because they want to be famous.
Right.
But watching the blokes, like, they just sit around and kind of act normal. It's a bit boring. And I get a little bit jealous that she has all these blokes after her. So I just don't like her as much. Like, you can't warm to it.
So blokes are actually nice to each other. Is that the issue?
Yeah.
Mm.
And they're not, like, they're wearing suits. You can't judge what they're wearing. You can't judge how they're behaving. They're just all kind of normal. And it's like, oh, this is it. Like, you're actually watching it for them to fall in love, which is pretty boring.
Yeah, right. Emma G.
I just think it's a warped concept, the whole thing. Like, when in real life is it okay to put like 20 people in a room together and make them fight for the same person? And with Bachelorette, all the guys are actually like friends and they end up getting on with each other. So it's kind of messed up that you're asking them to all hang out and be friends
and
then
compete
for the same girl.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, I guess. Yeah.
It sounds like you're describing a buck show at the moment.
It's reality TV. What about these bathers that are getting around with the bums hanging out? Girls, how do you feel about them? Are you comfortable wearing them, or are you sad about the trend?
Alice, you were saying that at Glenelg right now.
Dits is not happy about it. He does not want to have to look at
it. You've seen a lot of them, haven't you, down at Glenelg?
So many. And I had to buy a new pair of bikinis when we went to Hamilton Island this year.
Yeah.
And I actually struggled to find a pair of bikinis that covered my butt cheeks.
Really?
Yeah. When I was lying by
your
the pool.
Too big?
Back to the snacks.
Or is it just none out there?
Rue.
Nah.
Are you saying there's not enough material, Rue? Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
Right, so I ended up buying a tent from my business.
Right, Emma G.
Got a pair of ditches.
Oh, that's all again. I think less is more. So I think they.
What do you mean less is more?
Well, I think like the
you
less.
You like the look of them?
No, opposite. Like the less that you.
Reveal.
I stuffed it up. Yeah. Like the less that you reveal, the more like classy it is. Yeah. But in this, actually, practically, it doesn't work what I said. Yeah. So cover up a little bit and just be tasteful. I think it's fine if you're on the beach, like on your own or with your girlfriends and just working on your tan or whatever. But if you're actually at a beach where there's lots of people around and, you know, you're. People looking.
5-year old kids walking around.
Yeah, kids.
Oh, look at
him.
Cover
up
bum.
A little.
Where's Fernando from? Where's he from? Is he from Brazil?
He's from a place where people very openly wear G-string bikinis, and it's very accepted. Yeah, he's from Brazil. That's why they call that cart the Brazilian bikini.
But they've been wearing them for years over there.
Yeah, and it's totally accepted.
Oh, no. Yes, Mel. She's brutal today.
Fernando.
Thanks, Mel. No worries.
Oh, Fernando.
So,
Righto, Mel.
The image.
You can't help with that one either. See you later.
No, I shouldn't. the image that springs into my mind if I wouldn't try wearing one of those sort of things if I were to. It's just the ham that you get from the butcher shop is all I can picture. You know, with the string tied around. I wouldn't try. But I think if you've got the body for it, go nuts. Why not? And why do we say the kids? Why on earth would a kid be bothered by seeing a bum? They love bums.
Oh, they love looking at
them. No, it's the creepy old men on the beach.
Yeah, the creepy old men are the problem, not the kids.
All right, can I ask this, though?
Imagine
but you're on the beach and you're
good looking. Speak on behalf of the creepy old men.
And you're wearing, on behalf of the creepy old men listening to porn, I need to ask this question. Is it acceptable, though? Because I would find this off-putting. You're on the beach and the girl's wearing those, fine, but then you think, I might just walk up Jetty Road and grab an ice cream. Do you put on a pair of shorts or do you walk up the street? Because if you had normal bikinis on, you'd just walk up in your bikini, wouldn't you?
No. It takes a very, very confident girl to walk around the streets in bathers. I don't think many girls would do that.
No, they do. You see them on Jetty Road all the time.
Yeah, the very, very confident girls.
Okay.
Yeah, that's crazy. Put on a cover-up.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm. So, Rue, we're heading off to Jetty Road. When we knock off this morning?
See you at once.
Righto. Thanks, Angels. All thanks to Mannix. Great supporters of our show here, but also with the hot weather on the way, you might want to check out your air conditioning needs for the summer. The hottest deals on home cooling from Mannix Air Conditioning.
Do they sell G-bangers as well?
No, they don't. No. 8:33, Roo, here in South Australia anyway.
Yeah, exactly right, Dits. I've just been looking at a picture of Australia on the map of Australia and split up into the states with the daylight saving times pictured in each state at the moment. Starting with Western Australia, it just says 6 p.m. there. It says Northern Territory at the same time. It's 7:30 p.m.
Right.
Then I go straight south down and it's 8:30 p.m. mm-hmm. in South Australia.
Right.
Even though, you know, we're what would you say that we're straight underneath Northern Territory, due south. Yeah. So 8 p.m. up in Queensland. So they're actually behind when they're normally in front, and then I head down to New South Wales and Victoria and Tassie, and they're in their normal place. They're half an hour in front. It's 9 p.m. So got 9 p.m. there. Straight above there's Queensland, which is an hour behind at 8.
Mm.
Move over. We're 8:30. Northern Territory 7:30, and then WA 2.5 hours behind us at 6 p.m.
Mm.
That's a mess.
It is a mess. Like, that is a dog's breakfast.
It is a dog's breakfast. It's and. What if you're an air hostie or something? Like I was on the plane last night, thinking about what time the hostie was saying on what time it is. And, they're saying, and they had to think about it for that long. They had no, they could not work
where
out.
Where am I?
What is the time now with daylight saving? It is a mess.
Well, I said to you earlier this morning, what if you're a cow and you're on the border of New South Wales and Queensland? What hope is that cow
Is it breakfast
got?
Time or
oh,
not?
No. Am I meant to be giving milk now or in an hour? What is going on?
Oh, the pressure that's put on the
Should it
these
be government?
Animals.
Should the government federally just go, listen, this is the time, get on with it?
Yeah, what, one, two, couple of zones and that's it?
Yeah. We know WA needs its own zone because it's a fair way over.
Yeah.
So a big difference between and
maybe
WA and
Central and Eastern, just a half an hour apart, whatever we want.
Yeah. Needs to be some regulation.
Sort it out.
Yep.
All right. Tom Brown's going to join us to talk.
Hey, Port Adelaide's just released a statement about Dougal Howard. Tom Brown's got the latest. So breaking news
right.
with Tom Howard. Now, I'm hoping, I know nothing here. I do not want Dougal Howard to go anywhere. I hope he's got good news
for us.
He's
going to be unhappy if he stays.
No, he'll be right. He'll be right. Hmm. Anyway, ruined it's on Triple M. We're told there'll be some announcements today as far as AFL trades are concerned, Roo.
Yes.
I know that the Port Adelaide Football Club has just released a statement. I want to find out. I'm desperate to know. Tom Brown, our newsbreaker here on Triple M. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, Port just releasing a statement a short time ago concerning Dougal Howard. It just looks like a position to me explaining they won't trade him unless it's suitable for Port Adelaide. Howard's unofficially nominated St Kilda overnight, late yesterday afternoon, as his club of choice. But Port are clearly going to make St Kilda pay the appropriate draft pick. It's interesting, isn't it? He's one of those guys where he wasn't getting a regular game for Port, yet he's highly rated by four or five or six other clubs. So I think Port will just make St Kilda honest. You expect it to get done, but it'll take a bit of negotiation.
They haven't got any draft picks, Tom. That's going to be the issue there. And, so I'm not sure whether this is only going to happen if they get Orazio Fantasia.
Yeah, the latest on Fantasia is intriguing this morning, Roo. My sources at Port confirming that they met with his new manager, Michael Doherty, yesterday to discuss a potential trade. This is the difficulty, though. Fantasia still hasn't informed Essendon that he wants out. He had surgery on his knee after some hip surgery a couple of weeks ago on Tuesday. So he's still fresh out of that. So 4 or 5 days into the trade period, I think it's fair to say that Fantasia's making life pretty difficult for the Bombers and indeed Port. I think the takeout for me out of this is that he's helping Essendon in the sense that there must be some negotiations going on in the background because Essendon want a mature player to replace Fantasia in return. So that's the discussion, I think, going on in the background before he officially decides his position. So he's giving Essendon a chance to negotiate, but at the moment, no one's really commenting.
Roo, I want both. I want Fantasia and Dougal Howard. We lost Sam Gray, if he goes to Carlton, or St Kilda, sorry, we lose a small forward. Right, we need a goal kicking forward, so Fantasia goes in there. Hmm. That's not Dougal Howard. That's not a swap. That's not a like for like.
What were you moving your salary cap around for last year?
There were money issues. That was different.
So you just want to pull 600,000 or 700,000 out of thin air?
Yeah,
or?
We'll do it.
We'll do
now,
it.
Tom, let's move on. What's happening? Will Eddie Betts go to Carlton today?
Yeah, that looks like it's going to get announced fairly soon. I think if you go through as soon as today. We had Juddy on the hot breakfast this morning here in Melbourne. He was pretty tight-lipped on when it would go through. But it looks like it's going to be that pick in the late 40s and that deal will get done. Carlton's pretty excited about that trade. They obviously think it'll certainly enhance their Indigenous program. It'd be great with the Indigenous players. They're also excited about having him in a forward pocket. So I think there's a lot of upside there for Carlton, and that'll play out as soon as today, Dick.
Any surprising stuff happening over there? Any potential trades that could happen in the next couple of days?
Roo, I was trying to think about that this morning. I think Collingwood don't really have a prominent position in the draft. They've also got this issue with their salary cap, which has come out because Treloar came up in discussions with the Suns and Cox has come up in discussions with Essendon, which Adam Ramanauskas actually confirmed were pretty informal, but confirmed the existence of those discussions this morning, further that report earlier this week. So I reckon Collingwood, just reading the play, will be in some discussions with the Suns about trying to get one of those mid-teens picks in and give up some players to thicken the Suns a bit. But I guess the question there is what players they could trade with any currency. Collingwood won't want to give up Koskinen-Elliott. He's got outside run and pace. They probably wouldn't want to give up Sire, for example. I think he's just recommitted to a contract. You know, could they look at... it's going to be difficult for Collingwood to get that deal done, but they'll be looking at it, no doubt.
Will Geelong go shopping with their basket full of draft picks that they got for getting rid of Tim Kelly, do you think?
Stephen Wells left Geelong's options open yesterday. I reckon they could do both. They won't have to give up too much for Jack Stephen. I think that deal will eventually get done. The intriguing one for me is if you're short-term and think that they've got this older group of players, including Selwood, Dangerfield, Hawkins, obviously Harry Taylor also Ablett. Recommitted. Ablett, wouldn't it be intriguing to think with that group, well, hang on, let's have an absolute red-hot crack now at the flag with using one of these picks to get a player. Could they, for example, approach Brad Crouch?
Pick on someone else, please.
Oh, you wouldn't like that, true. Well, look, he wants a lot of money, Crouch, but is that a left-field thing they could look at doing? So I think they'd be discussing all those options and more, because what they've really done is avoid bottoming out by taking a punt on Kelly. They discovered gold, didn't they?
This will be the last time you're on here, Tom. Thanks very much for your information.
Good on you, Tom.
Thanks, Drew. Cheers,
there
guys,
you go. Triple M's Tom Brown all over the trade news. Ruined it here on Triple M.
Did we try and keep in touch with the younger generation at times, and Alice gave us a little reminder about what they get up to after a big night sometimes. Joel was away and you were home and a bit needy and you ordered Uber Eats.
It was $80
worth. $80 worth of food. And then the Uber Eats person's locked up at the door. You've walked to the door feeling guilty as, and the bloke sat on the door and you have made out Joel's at home, your boyfriend, and he's in Melbourne. And you've gone, Joel, Uber Eats is here. $80 worth. That's a good feed, dude.
It's not bad. Especially when it's chips and pizza. That's a lot of chips and pizza, isn't it?
And you think the world's gone mad, and especially in the world of AFL. Yep. Look, some of the questions are asking the potential draftees at the AFL Combine.
You're standing at a train station and there are five people on the train tracks and there's a train coming, but next to you is a lever. And if you pull the lever, the train diverts and goes down another track, but it runs over one person. Would you pull the lever? Now, this is what we're asking young kids from AFL clubs. These are the questions, whether they decide whether the kid's got the right mentality.
Can he make a decision?
To play AFL footy.
Kill one or kill five. Quick.
Yeah.
What's your decision? Bang. that's the sort of stuff they're getting asked. Does it make any difference or not? Well, time will tell. That's it for the show, Ditch. We'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, we will. We'll see you then.
See you later, everyone. Have a great day.